Okay, good morning, everyone. Last week, we began a discussion of what we called like the Derech LaMelech. That we're all on a journey in this world, and that journey is to find Hashem Yisbarach, to find Him in our personal lives. And of course, finding Hashem Yisbarach in Pnimiyas HaTorah doesn't mean that we're going to be standing by a mountain somewhere, and there's going to be an open revelation which a person will see with his eyes, his magushim fleshy eyes, and to say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, I see Hashem in my life. Then a person is not traveling, wandering the world looking for some epiphany, some revelation of Hashem Yisbarach in his life. Pnimiyas tells us that finding Hashem Yisbarach means that we find Hashem Yisbarach within ourselves. And the journey is very much associated with an internal work. That a tzaddik, that a person who has that relationship, that he discovers Hashem Yisbarach in his life, he doesn't discover Him in the outside world. It's not going to be apparent to those around him that they're going to see that his eyes are bigger, or he stops in the middle of his tracks and he has something overcome him. It's not like that at all. It's a very adin feeling. It's a very ruchni connection that a person has, that he's margish within himself. So therefore, the work to finding Hashem Yisbarach is an internal work. And that's something which is very important to keep in mind as we try to journey forward. We start to see into how the davening feels, how Limud HaTorah feels, how the workplace feels, our relationships in our daily lives, the amount of Ava and Yira and Bitachon, which is manifesting itself within ourselves. This is going to be the barometer to know how much of a relationship do I have with Hashem Yisbarach. It's not going to be apparent to anybody else other than the person experiencing it. We spoke about the beginning of the journey, that what brings a person in is Yiras HaOnesh. When a person is living in that space, which is me, it's about me in this world. When a person comes into this world, he's not expected to recognize and to realize anything other than the fact that I'm living my own life, Bishvili Nevra Ayla. And therefore we explain that the reason why the Torah speaks in a lashon of Onesh and Tzchar, this is the language which a person can be reached Ba'asher Husham, when he enters into the world of Avodas Hashem. And that Knisa, that entrance into Avodas Hashem, we don't have a choice in that. Although we gave a choice about it by Har Sinai, or before we came into this world, as Chazal explained, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking advice from the Malachim, asking the Neshama, do you want to be created? We made higher choices. And we made choices to be part of the tribe, to be Klal Yisrael, to exist. So therefore, there is some type of a secret about higher choices. But when we're in this world, and the Neshama comes into a guf, and he opens up his eyes, and he's like, what am I doing here? And then it's somebody, he has a Rebbe, or a father, or a mother, who says to him, listen, you're a Yid. You have mitzvahs to do. You have a life to live as a Jew. A person can't opt out at that point and say, this is not for me. Hashem Yisbarach says, if you don't do it, I'm going to slam you. And anybody on any level can hear that. Even the behemoth can hear that. Because if you want a behemoth to do what you want it to do, you take something, you give it a patch. And then you motivate him to work, because if not, it's going to hurt. But of course, you want to speak a better language, which is a higher language, which is to say, listen, it's going to be really good for you. This is a really good life. It's a good life in this world, and it's a good life in the next world. And so therefore, there's some type of a motivation which comes from that. So therefore, the Schar language is certainly better than the Einish language, but we have the Einish language, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you weren't created this world for yourself. That's the beginning of that Shprach. I have a higher purpose in this world. You're part of the plan. You don't realize the Schus right now, but listen, come along with me and it's going to be really good. What we hope at that point is that a person will have, as we explain, a flash of inspiration. That a person will be inspired to journey forward and not to live and to stay in that space of Yiras HaOnesh. It's a very painful place to live out of Yiras HaOnesh. And it wasn't intended that a Jew should live in that place out of fear of punishment. He doesn't want that threat hanging over him his entire life. It's a very unhappy place to be. And when we make the mistake to think, like many of us do unfortunately, that we live in that world of Yiras HaOnesh our entire lives, then we start to be resentful. Because we haven't journeyed along the path of Yiddishkeit. We haven't even begun the derech. We only walked into the corridor, but that's not the corridor to the palace, that's you're just in the kingdom. But you're very, very far from where Hashem wants you to go. He's sending you letters of invitations from very far. He's inviting you to the palace. If you don't check your mail, then you never realize that there was an invitation there. But the truth is that Hashem Yisbarach throughout our entire lives is sending us invitation after invitation after invitation to join Him in the palace. And those inspirations are coming by means of Yisurin sometimes, unfortunately. That's the last resort that Hashem Yisbarach wants to speak to us. But there are people in our lives who were introduced to us, that they inspire us. And Hashem Yisbarach has many ways within His infinite power and all of His shluchim in this world, that He drops hints to us, that He's telling us, I'm looking for you, that I want you in my life. And as we explained, it doesn't take much for a person to recognize, just in the world that Hashem Yisbarach created, that there's a purpose in this world, and this world is not an accident. That there's something which is higher, which is calling a person. Everything in this world is screaming to a person that there's a purpose in this world. Of course, to a point where there's a bechira, that a person can make a choice. This is the secret Chazal say of the Shem Shakai. Shakai means that Hashem says, Dai le'elami, which means that Hashem gives a gvul, where He puts that gvul in a place where a person is on the one hand able to look at this world and to recognize very clearly that there's a bairi in this world. And if there's a bairi, he has a master plan, and therefore to search for the bairi. But at the same time, a person can choose to ignore that. And that's the secret of Bechira, that Hashem doesn't impose it on us, that He wants to gift us with this secret called Bechira. And so therefore we have choices to make. But Hashem Yisbarach is through the Bria, through people in our lives, whether it's through parents or a grandparent or a friend, and it's a combination of all these types of things which lead a person down the road. And of course it's much more difficult for a person if Nebuch, his family, has veered off the Derech Hashem. And this happened to thousands and millions of after the Holocaust, of course, as we know. There have been different kufas, and that's happened also by Churban Beis HaMikdash as well. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite kindness, is always drawing Klal Yisrael back. He's being ma'iras to come back on a personal level, on a communal level, as a people, to return to Him. And this is the Indian of tshuva. Tshuva means to return to the purpose of creation, which means to return to Hashem. What we hope is that those flashes of inspiration will turn into a concrete ratzon to come close to Him. There's a difference between inspiration versus a will. Many times we're inspired, and we walk out of a shir, or a chavrusa, or a moment in life where a person feels like he wants to do something to come close, and he doesn't know exactly what to do. And therefore we need to be taught. And I think one of the reasons why this is such a to'eles, and we're speaking about it, and we're talking about it at length, is I think we find ourselves in that place many times where we're hoping that the Yiras HaOnish doesn't speak to us so much. We really are somewhat inspired. There's an Eish to Kedusha which is motivating us, and there are ups and downs in terms of that flash of inspiration. But we really need to know how to journey. A person feels like he's lost. Okay, now what? Now what? And there are those moments of inspiration which come and go. But what we should recognize is that we want that these flashes of inspiration, that we A, should know how to utilize them, and B, that they should turn into a concrete ratzon. That when it becomes a will, that a person, he has a very strong desire, a concrete desire to journey and to go down that path. So therefore, we know therefore what these inspirations are. You can't live constantly inspired. If you do, you're on a very big madriga. That's already a madriga of tzaddikim, that a tzaddik is able to constantly be inspired. And the more that a person is able to live inspired, that's a simon of his madriga. His madriga and his closeness and his understanding of how beautiful and how important this journey is, that he's able to allow that inspiration to come from within. We can't hold ourselves to such madrigas usually. So therefore, we look for opportunities. If there's going to be a shira, we try to set up situations in our day that we're going to be inspired. Truthfully, every tefillah is an opportunity to be inspired. Every time a person sits down by a sefer, he should walk away more inspired than he was before. And inspiration means with feelings of ava, with feelings of yira, of to come closer, to have more tshuva. Like the Ramban says, the Baal Shem Tov quotes the Ramban, I guess he has a b'mesayra, or he had a b'gili from the Ramban. So the measure of a person's learning Torah Lishma is that after he learns, he feels more of an ava and yira shamayim. So a person, although he may not know what lishma is, and maybe we'll speak about that, you don't really need to know what lishma means. In a nutshell, lishma means serving for the purpose, although I may not know what that purpose is. I want to learn Torah for the purpose of what it's all about, even though it may be beyond me. But the barometer, the siman to know afterwards, did I learn Torah lishma? Did I do this right? Am I connecting in some pnimius way that Hashem Yisrael wants me to? That if a person walks away from the Sefer and he feels like, even if he doesn't feel it right away, he may not be margashit at all, but he feels a certain sense of av and yiro which came from that, then he knows he's onto something. And tzaddikim are constantly looking for inspiration and constantly learning to fashion and to work on that ratzon to come close, because that ratzon will be carrying us throughout the entire journey. And the journey is endless. And so therefore that ratzon, that inspiration, is not something which just brings us from Yiras HaOnesh to the next madrega, which will be Yiras HaRoumus, a higher level of Yira. That we have to walk, we have to journey from the outskirts of the kingdom to come to the palace. And depending on where our neshamas are, or where we are in life, it could be a short journey. We could be living close to the palace, or it could be very far. And there may be points in our life where we're coming in and out of the palace. We have ups and downs. But what we need always is that ratzon to come close. Because even if a person makes it into the palace, and being in the palace means that he's able to be margish the presence of Hashem, which is what Yiras HaRoumus is all about, he's still not done. He has to walk through the palace, through more corridors, and more entrance ways and more doors, and to navigate his way through the palace until he comes to see the king. Even when he comes into the room where the king is, he may not see the face of the king right away. And then when a person is zeichet to that relationship with the king, the relationship is beautiful, and that's also endless. So what's going to be motivating us throughout the journey is always going to be developing more ratzon, more ratzon, more ratzon. This is how the Apta Rav teaches the pasuk by the Mishkan, which is the parashas we're reading now. The pasuk speaks about the vavei ha'amudim. These amudim, the vavei, the hooks of the amudim, v'chashukehim kesef, that they're made out of kesef. So the Apta Rav says, vavei ha'amudim refers to the tzaddik, because the tzaddik is the amud shel olam. He's the pillar of the world. He's called the vav. It's called the vavei ha'amudim. He says, vavei ha'amudim, what's the essence of a tzaddik? V'chashukehem kesef. Chashukehem is a lashon of cheshek. To desire kesef is also a lashon of desire. Kisufim, yearning. The vavei ha'amudim, if you want to understand what it is that a tzaddik is searching for, v'chashukehem kesef. He's cheshek kesef. He desires more desire. He wants to turn inspiration into ratzon. That's what the tzaddik is constantly looking for. Even this letter, which is alluded to in the pasuk, vavei ha'amudim. The vav here means a hook, which is of course a remiss to the letter vav, because the vav is a hook. It's shaped like a hook, and it also connects. The whole point of a hook is to connect one thing to the next. That's the letter vav. It's called the vav hachibur. And of course, the whole secret of the tzaddik is that he's a vav. He's machaber b'nei Yisrael ta'kadosh baruch hu shamayim and aretz. This is the yisod of what a tzaddik is all about. It's called the letter vav. As we spoke about last week, this journey of this derech to the king begins and can be seen from the Shem Havaya, but from the bottom up. As we explained, that the journey to the king begins with the letter Hey, because that's the entrance way. We start on the bottom and we have to come in. And that Hey is like a Heichal. It's shaped like a Heichal, and there's an entrance way in the bottom. And you come into that Hey, and therefore you're in the kingdom. You're in the realm of the Malchus. But from there, as a person goes up that hay, and he's journeying, and he comes out through the top, and he makes his way up, he arrives at the letter Vav. And that Vav is what we're speaking about now. The Vavei ha'amudim, the chashukehem kasef, the inspiration, the looking at this world and recognizing that there's a boire, the hakara satov, which is a powerful motivator, that a person looks at this world and he sees there's a boire. He says, I'm exist. How do I pay you back? How do I find you? What is my purpose here? That a person learns Torah and he feels that spark of inspiration, that's the Vav. And that Vav is carrying him, and there's a very long Vav, until he travels that Vav, and he's looking, always he's taking that Vav with him, of course, until he's able to come into that Hay, which is the higher Hay, the Hay Ilah, that a person enters into the palace of the king. When he's in the palace of the king, he transforms, he doesn't really transform, but he moves from a place of Yiras HaOnesh being a motivator, the schar va'onesh, because of course the schar is a tremendous motivator for him. He knows that this is going to be really geshmak at the end, and even the journey is beautiful. And he comes to that hay, where he enters into that hay, and then he has a whole new understanding of Hashem Yisbarach and what the world is all about. Because after all, he's in the palace of the king. And he's able to be margish in his life, the presence of Hashem in his life. And when a person, inside of himself, that he conducts himself in a way, from a place within himself, that he feels the presence of Hashem, that it's not something which is just, he needs to be taught, or something which is in the distance, but he feels within himself the presence of Hashem. Because his neshama in those worlds, that he has that closeness to Hashem. So he's entered into that Heila, and he's in the palace of the king. And that's really what we're searching for, we're striving for, is that through the Maisim, which we do every single day, that although it just seems like it's routine, and I think this is something which is important to note, we ask ourselves on the journey, like, what am I supposed to do? This is one of the questions we ask ourselves. We're inspired. We have a ratzon. We want to come close to Hashem. And we're very happy about that. We should be happy about that. And there's a lot to speak about this, but maybe as Charlie has plans to turn this into like a whole, which, you know, chabur of its own, whatever it is, it deserves that, because this is what we're here for. And we can't speak about the pratim, we're here to speak about kolim. But as we journey, we have that ratzon. We ask ourselves, how? What are the means to get there? How do I come to the king? The teretz is that we don't have to look very far. It's in the Torah. Hashem Yisbarach says, take my mitzvahs. The mitzvahs. And like everything in life, our answers are like right, you know, beneath our nose. It's right in front of us. Hashem Yisbarach says, if you want me, take my mitzvahs. It's important to recognize that the Seder Hayom, that Chazal, that they were masaking for us to do every single day, as it emerges from the world of halacha, is the journey itself. This is what we need. These are our tools. This is the airplane ticket. This is the horse and buggy, whatever it is. We get there through the mitzvahs which we do. Because the mitzvah, Svarim say, is a lesson of chibur, of attaching ourselves to Hashem. Shekidishanu b'mitzvahis, of every mitzvah is an opportunity to attach ourselves to the king, to come closer to the king. So if a person has built into his day that he davens shachris, and he davens mincha, and he davens ma'av, and he says kriyash malamita, and he learns Torah in the morning at night, this is the formula. This is the formula. But it means that a person davens a davening, which is a davening that will bring him close to the king. Every single Shmona Esrei, we come close to the king. You stand in Shmona Esrei with your feet together, and you close your eyes, and you're talking to the king, you're doing it. When it becomes routine, we start to ask ourselves, like, okay, this is not working. How do I find him? And we start to look for other types of inyanim. Nebuch, if a person goes off to derech chalila chalila, that means that he's completely far from this journey. And then he needs the Yiras Onesh to make sure he comes back on. But we only start to ask those questions when we're not doing Torah and Tefillah right, which is the most important tools that a person has to find Hashem. That when Torah becomes a subject, and it becomes mitzvah anasha melumada, it just becomes another thing which we do, and then davening is just something which we're looking to get over with, so then, yeah, we ask kashas, like, how do we find the king? But the Torah is that, what do you mean? You're doing it every single day. Torah and Tefillah, when it's done appropriately, this is our experience with the king. This is what's bringing us closer every single day. There are no two tefillahs which are alike, that the Arizal says. Every tefillah, we stand in a place different than before. Although we're taking three steps forward, and the same makam, your koveya makam letefillah, and you have your spot in the right corner of the base medrash, and you're taking three steps forward, and every day you find yourself in that same place, that place is not the same as it was yesterday. You're taking three steps forward, giant steps forward, than you were the day before, or the tefillah before. And that's how we journey to the king, with the ikr which we do every single day. And we need to be taught that, because we think that it's not the meat and potatoes of Yiddishkeit, which is really the solution. But Chazal didn't work that way. They built into the Seder Hayom the formula. That if a person starts to think that it may be something else, it just means they don't know how to use it. We need to be taught how to daven, and how to learn Torah, and to dedicate ourselves to that with Mesiras Nefesh, that if it's really meaningful, then the Torah and Tefillah itself is what carries us on the journey. And of course, that never stops, because Torah and Tefillah is not something you become potter from. Every single Madrega, it's bringing out that Ratzon to journey closer, and to journey closer, and to journey closer. And a person is able to see how he's transforming, because his Tefillah is a different Tefillah, and the learning is a different learning. That's a simitim, like we said before, that he's getting somewhere. And he's on his journey in a meaningful way. So that place of Yiras HaRomos is a place within a person that he's able to be margish, the presence of the king in his life. And at that point when he's in that place of Yiras HaRomos, and of course Yiras HaRomos manifests itself on many levels. It doesn't mean that a person has this thing which overcomes him. And it could be that way. It happens. But it means that a person is able to be margish within himself, the presence of Hashem in his life. So the presence of Hashem in his life, one of the cues to that is that a person is able to recognize that now that I'm close and I'm in the proximity of the Melech, I understand from being so close that I'm really so far. And the Romanist which emerges from that era is that I never realized such a vast difference between me and the king. I spoke about this last week, that when a person is in the Malchus, in the kingdom, somewhere far away, he hears about the Malchus, but he really doesn't know much about it. So the distance doesn't allow him to really know the Malchus and who the Melech is and the real covenant and the Pe'er and the Tiferes and Remimus of the Melech. It's only when he enters into the palace and he can see the palace in the distance and he comes in and he realizes what it means, a Melech. And even if he hasn't seen the Melech yet, the Emas HaMelech is upon him much, much more in the palace than it is from a distance. When a person has that Hergish inside himself, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this Malchus is so great that I'm so far. I'm so far from him. This is an experience and a feeling that will carry a person wherever he goes. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, the distance between him and us is forever, forever distant. And that's a very holy feeling. That's a very good feeling that if a person feels the distance that he has to the king, because it's true. And so it's going to be like we explained, Shalom, Shalom, Larachuk V'Lakarov, that a person's coming close to Hashem will have that feeling of kurva and richuk at the same time. Because you come closer to the king and he brings you in, you start to see that the real grandeur of the melech, not just the covet of the malchus, but the essence of who the melech really is. And as we explained, this Yiras HaRomos, which is the hei ilah, the higher hei, which is being inside the palace of the king, this is really the true station of the journey. This Yiras HaRomos, like the Torah says, we explained, Ve'ata yisam Hashem Elokech Hashem, Hashem says, what do I want from you? Layira, ki im layira, that you should just serve me out of yira, to have feelings of Yerushalayim. But as the pasuk continues, lalechas bedrachav, to continue on the journey, vla ahava usa, bilalechas bedrachav, to come to ahava and to come to dveikus with Hashem. And that's what we're going to speak about now, b'siyata shemai a little bit, as we move from Yiras HaRomos, vilalechas bedrachav, and we're still on the journey, as the pasuk says in Akev, that the next station which we come to is avas Hashem. What is Avas Hashem about? As we explained before, when we spoke about the beginnings of the journey, the relationship between an Adon and an Eved, that there's no relationship between an Adon and an Eved, and that's how we begin our journey. There's somewhat of a relationship between a Melech and his subjects, because he wants good for the subjects. But there really is no Ava between the Melech and the subject. Of course, the Melech will make sure that he takes care of his subject, that he has what he needs. And on that level, the subject can be boteach in the melech, that he'll take care of him. When you're in the palace of the king, and you're under the careful hashgacha of his watchful eye of the melech, he takes care of all your needs. He's going to take care of you. And therefore you can be boteach in the melech. You can be boteach in the melech. That he's going, al pidin, that he's going to do what's just and right for his subjects. At that point, when a person comes closer and closer to the king, he gets to a point where when the melech turns around and he's able to see the face of the melech, when he comes close enough, he's able to see that the face of the melech is the face of his father. That he's able to see that the melech is his father. And that revelation that a person has changes the dynamic of the relationship once again. That as we evolved from an eved to an adon, and now from a subject to a melech, when you come close enough to the king, you start to realize that the melech is your father. And that changes the dynamic of the relationship, because now not only is the melech interested in you because you signed up to be part of the melechus, it's because he's your father, and he has rachmanas on you, and he loves you. And we start to recognize that Hashem loves you so much, that it's not just that you look around, and of course you see that Hashem may love you from the way that this world is and all that he does for us. When you really can see clearly that Hashem is your father, and you conduct yourself in a way that this is my father, and I'm proud to be a child of such a father like this, of the Melech, then the dynamic of the relationship is again changed. you can certainly recognize that Yiras HaOnish is not speaking to us anymore. Even when we came to Yiras HaRamos, we really didn't need Yiras HaOnish that much. It's really just a safety net. We're not supposed to be living there. We're supposed to be living in the palace of the king. And if you realize that Hashem is your father, of course you're supposed to be living in the palace. He's your father. You're supposed to be living with your father. This is your home. This is where you belong. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And this whole system is just a way of expression of his love. So then we reciprocate that love. And it's a privilege to be the child of the Melech. So forget about Yiras HaOnish. Schar HaOnish doesn't speak to us. This should be a chiddush to many of us, because we're graduated from that level. If we fall Chalila, then the safety net is there, but that's not the space we're living in. We're in the palace of the king, and it doesn't speak to us. But we need the Yiras HaRamos too, because we can't abuse the relationship. We have to know he's Fart the Melech. But he's the Melech, but he's also our father. And it's at this point that we find the Midah Bitachon in the relationship. There's bitachon in the Melech, but the bitachon that a child has in his father is much greater than the bitachon that a subject has in the king. Because the bitachon that a father bestows upon his child, that security is endless, because it comes from a place of rachamim, that the love that he has for him. And no matter what, that relationship is there. And at times where the relationship is rocky between a father and a son, still the Rachmanis is there. The Ahava is there because it's flesh and blood. That's the Ahava. There is that oneness. Whereas the Melech and his subject doesn't have that relationship. It's a relationship of respect, of the fact that the Melech is proud of you, that he's that and you're proud of the king, and that there's this Alpidin. Alpidin they do for each other. This is a responsibility to his subjects. Whereas the father to the king, it's coming from a place of Rachamim. And that rachamim gives a person that bitachon, that security, that Hashem Yisbarach will take care of him. That's what you find by the tzaddikim, that they have the sakara. They have bitachon in the melech. What's going to be with my parnasa? What's going to be with my work? They dedicate themselves to Torah and tefillah. Because when you know that the melech is taking care of you, because he's your father. And it comes to a place where it's tzaddik, that he doesn't even need to daven for parnasa. All of his tefillahs in the Shemona Esrei are only about the Shechina. It's only about the Melech. Because when you're interested in the Melech, and certainly for your father, so you don't have to worry about these things. It has a whole different taich. Of course, a person can't jump Madregas. He has to know where he is. But if he doesn't feel that Hashem Yisbarach may take care of him today, so then he has to journey weiter. A person can't just accept that. He has to accept that because that's where he's holding. That's where he is on the journey. But when he enters into the palace, and he sees the face of the king, and he sees that it's the face of his father, so then his whole day is a different day. The whole schedule is a different schedule. Because that's where he's holding. He comes and he goes as he pleases. There's food on the table, he takes it when he needs it, and this and that. Everything is it's a Shulchan Aruch for him. Now, of course, we may not be on that Madrega, but this is what we need to at least be searching for. We need to know what we're searching for. We need to know what it is we're looking for. As we'll explain in Mitzvah Hashem, I hope we have time. As the relationship evolves even more, as we've spoken about, from the Adon to the Melech to the Av, the next chapter in the relationship is that it evolves from one which is father to child to husband and wife. And of course, Al-Pi Halacha, there's no way to explain this. We're talking about the world of Pnimius. And Hashem Yisrael wants to have such an intense relationship with us that all the different values and milas of all the different relationships which exist in this world that he created, they should all be present in the relationship that he has with Klal Yisrael and each and every one of us. So therefore, it's not exclusive of. But when a person comes to this Madrega, that he finds that Hashem Yisbarach is his spouse, the Ani L'doyidi V'doyidi Li. So it doesn't come to exclude everything before it. We're taking all the Madrigas with us, which we go along, we spoke about last week. As we journey, we take everything with us. We fill our pockets with all of it, and we never empty those pockets. Because Hashem Yisrael wants that the relationship should be so intense and so real that it's lacking nothing. But the relationship between a husband and a wife is much more profound than a father and a son. Of course, they have their milas, and we're taking both of them. But in Pnimius, husband and wife relationship is even higher than a father and son. Because although you can tie in and you can say, listen, father and son, they're flesh and blood. But in Pnimius, a husband and a wife, they're cut from the same place, and it's literally ishto kegufo, which is a principle in halacha, But in primius, it's a reality. And that's what that halacha principle is based on, spiritual reality. Ishto kigufo, that a husband is like his wife, that they're cut from the same place, which is why the Torah begins with that relationship, which is Adam and Chava. The whole secret of what's called the Nesira, how Adam and Chava were split, but they're really one. That's true about every husband and wife. And the whole Seder of the Kiddushin, which takes place, all the different halachas and minhagim which pertain to the Kiddushin Seder between husband and wife, is all to generate this reality, spiritual reality, called Ishto Kigufo. Which is why, if a person chalila has to give a get, so then the get has to be the Shema. There are many halachas which is involved in that, because it's not just about, you can't just say, okay, goodbye, see you later. It doesn't work that way. There's a spiritual reality which needs to be severed. It's called a get krisis. It has to separate, has to make a kares. You have to bring into the world that bechina called kares to separate between husband and wife. Because they're attached in a way which is even deeper than a father and a son. That's the madrega of Ishto Kigufo. And that love is a different type of a love, obviously, between a father and a son. A person reaches that place that he becomes one with the king, that it's Ishto Kigufo. So therefore, he takes on the essence of the king. That the king is not somebody which is just outside of himself. The king is within me. I'm a piece of the king. Just like Ishto Kigufo is a piece of her husband. And he's a piece of her. Of course, this is a tool which we use even in the lower madrigas where we find ourselves. We use the higher madrigas to motivate us and inspire us on the lower levels. We'll tell the Jew, you're a chelik alakam imal, you know that? You're a piece of Hashem. The person says, I don't feel like I'm a piece of Hashem. I just walk around, I look in the mirror, I see that I have skin and I have hair and I don't feel like I'm a piece of Hashem. You need to know you're a piece of Hashem. You have to have emun in the higher places, because when you have emun, the higher places bring you there. They bring you to those places. So sometimes we talk a shprach to a person that you say to them, listen, you're chelik alakam imal. And he looks back and he says, doesn't speak to me. But the point is that you have to have emun in that. Because when you have emun in that, you attach yourself to that place and then it starts to pull you there. And it starts to awaken a ratzon in that. But we can use higher shprach, but we have to know that it's a higher shprach. It's a higher language to tell a person, you're chelik alakam imal, when he doesn't experience it. If he's not experiencing it, he's not holding there yet. But it's a reality. You're a piece of Hashem. But the journey is about bringing out that which exists, not creating it. You don't have to create this Messias. He is your father. You just have to see that it's your father when you come close. He is your spouse. You just have to reveal that he's your spouse when you get there. But these are all places which are within ourselves. And that's why through the Seder of Torah and Tefillah, we're not trying to create something which we're not. We're trying to reveal something which we are. To be manifest, what it is a Jew. And so therefore, the difference between a tzaddik and a person who's not a tzaddik is not that he's more of this than him. Everybody's a tzaddik. It's just about how we use Torah and Tefillah and the mitzvahs which Hashem gives us to reveal the essence of who a Jew really is. Who we really are. We see this Seder from the Seder of the Yamim Tovim. The climax, you can say, is a Shavuos. Shavuos is the chuppah, the giving of the Torah, that yichud between Klai Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu on Shavuos. It's perhaps the climax of the whole Seder, of course, which begins with Pesach. However, soon after Shavuos, there's a churban in that bias. We built a bias with Hashem, it's called the Beis HaMikdash, and we come into Tammuz and Av, and there's a churban. And then we fall back down, we lose the relationship, and we fall to square one again. You have to be punished. That means you forgot about the relationship. Hashem says, okay, you weren't heeding my word. I have to speak to you in a lashon of yiras ha'onesh, schar va'onesh. Fall back to the bottom. And then comes the chodesh of Elul, which is the chodesh of tshuva. And that chodesh of tshuva is a tshuva which begins with the chodesh Elul and brings a person to Yom Kippur. It's the move, it's the shift from Yiras HaOnesh to Yiras HaRomamas. And Rosh Hashanah is squeezed in between there. Rosh Hashanah is a day that Hashem speaks to you in the language of Yiras HaOnesh. Right? Mi Yichya, Mi Yomos. Of course, there's an awakening which comes from the Shofar. The Shofar is supposed to bring out a certain pachad. It's already, you can hear from the Shofar already a little bit of the Romamas of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a day that you stand in front of Hashem with Yiras HaOnesh. You don't say anything about onesh on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day which is the Yiras Haromimus of the year. That you're in the Heichal HaMelech, and you can see from the way that you look and from the Seder of Tefillah and the decorum in the Beis Medrash and the feeling in the Avira that you're in a different place Yom Kippur. You're in the Heichal HaMelech. That's the day of Yom Kippur. But you're journeying from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. That journey is moving from Yiras HaOnesh, where we found ourselves in Tammuz and Av, to Yom Kippur, which is a day, which is called the He'ilah, the place of Bina, the Sfarim, which is the place of Yiras HaRomimus. What's interesting is that we say that Elul is Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. And if I had to ask you, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, that doesn't sound like a time of tshuva, which is coming from a place of moving from Yiras HaOnesh to Yiras HaRomimus. What type of a shprach is that? Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li is the relationship of a husband and a wife. So what's it doing here in Elul? That sounds like it's later on in the journey. But the Torah says, like we said before, that the higher places are calling down and giving us flashes of inspiration to bring us to the higher places. You need to tell the person in the low places, you're a piece of Hashem, He loves you. You have to talk that language, even though he may not recognize that then. But it's the Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, which is the calling of Elo, which is coming from the higher places, which is bringing us closer. It comes down to bring us up. And then you come to that place called Yom Kippur, which is the station, of course, of Yiras HaRomimus. And that's why, by the way, there's a Aseres Yimei Tshuva. There are 10 days of Tshuva, because the 10 comes from that Yud. The Yud is Gematria 10, but the Yud is very high in the journey. That was even beyond Yiras HaRomimus. That was the Hey. The Yud is that Bitachon and the Ava we spoke about. But it makes its way down to bring us up. Those are the 10 days of Tshuva, which is the Halicha and the Derech. It's called Tshuva. And we come to Yom HaKippurim, which is that day of Yiras HaRomimus. And on Yom Kippur, and throughout the whole Seder of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the call is Avinu Malkeinu. Not just Malkeinu, but Avinu Malkeinu. That we see the face of our Father on the King. That's Avinu Malkeinu. Not just my Melech now. You're also Avinu. And it's that Simcha that we see that the face of the King is really our Father, which is the transition right away from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. Right, the Simcha of Sukkot is that we're delighting with the King, who's our Father. That's what we said in the Sukkah. We're in the home of the King. We're in the palace of the King. He's my Father. The Zohar says that the secret of the Sukkah is Ima de Mesachin al Benin. That the Queen, which is the Ima, we're sitting in her palace. Hashem Yisbarach is our Mother, takes care of us, which is the Indian of Bitachon, is the Ava, which is the Indian of Father. That we're in the Heichal HaMelech, and He's our Father. Like the Chida says that the lulav and esrog and the arba minim, it's called the shavito shel melech. It's the scepter of the king. Who can hold the scepter of the king? Only a son can hold the scepter of the king. There's somebody else in the malchus who can hold that. So that's the celebration of Avinu Malkeinu. That we're sitting in the palace of our Father. And then we come to Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is the day of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. That's the relationship of husband and wife. That's what the Zohar says, that the yichud of husband and wife, which takes place, that the culmination of the entire period of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the time, the tkufa of the Yomim Noiraim, that's called Yomim Noiraim, times of Roimimus, of Noira of Hashem, Yom Kippur being the center of that, the heart of that whole journey. We come to that plateau of the Ishto Kegufa, that yichud of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, which was calling us below. The source of all that is Shemini Atzeres. That's the climax of the journey. We reach that place of that oneness with Hashem Yisrael, which is a celebration beyond words. And there's no words to explain it. So although to many of us, Shemini Atzeres just seems like an empty day, in Pnimis HaTorah, Shemini Atzeres is the highest day. Literally the tachlis of the entire journey is to come to that day called Shemini Atzeres. But we see how we go from Yiras HaOnesh, and we journey through Tshuva, and we come to Yiras HaRomimus, and we come to that Av and Bitachon. And then we come to that place called Shemini Atzeres. This is the journey from Adam to Melech, to Av, to a spouse. And we take everything with us along the journey. Just one last note. There's one last Yira, which is called Yiras Chet, which Mesil Sharm speaks about. Yiras Chet is the third year of the third. Yiras HaOnesh, Yiras HaRomimus, Yiras Chet. Now what's Yiras Chet? And we'll end with this. Yiras Chet doesn't mean that I'm it's a fear of punishment. It's not what it says. It says Yiras Chet. I'm afraid of the Chet. Why am I afraid of the Chet and not the punishment? Because at this point in my relationship with Hashem, it's not about the Schar V'Onesh anymore. It's about the relationship. And I'm afraid that I may do something which may hurt my relationship with him. So a tzaddik on this level, he's not concerned that maybe he may do something which he'll be punished for. The greatest punishment to a tzaddik is that he may lose out on the relationship. He's afraid that he may hurt that closeness between him and his spouse. Because the relationship is so valuable to him. That's called Yiras Chet. So we have, in a certain way, we have bookends which are called Yira. Yiras HaOnesh, which keeps you in the game, which makes you part of the game. And you have Yiras Chet, which ensures that the Ahava and the Yichud between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will stay firm and strong. We don't want to do anything which may hurt the relationship. So we have Yiras Chet and Yiras HaOnesh and everything in between. But it's a beautiful journey. And this is the journey which we're on. And of course, there's much more to speak about that, of course, B'siyata D'Shmaya. But I think we've pretty much covered the klalius B'siyata D'Shmaya, and we should be zeicha to always be journeying, to know that this is a beautiful, beautiful one. We should be zeicha to see Hashem Yisbarach in every aspect of our lives.